Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Hosea. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and see my face. In their distress, they will beg my favor. Come, let us return to the Lord, for it is He who has torn, and He will heal us. He has struck down, and He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up, that we may live before Him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have killed them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Word of God, word of life, thanks be to God. A reading from Psalm 50. Listen, my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will bear witness against you, for I am God, your God. I do not accuse you because of your sacrifices. Your burnt offerings are always before me. I will not accept a calf from your stalls, nor goats from your pens. For all the wild animals of the forest are mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird of the mountains and the creatures of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the whole world is mine and all that is in it. Do you think I'd eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and make good your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. You shall honor me. A reading from Romans. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God who in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, the words "it was reckoned to him" were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. it will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to the death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her hand, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away. For the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout the district. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Today, the church enters into what some traditions call ordinary time. Rather than marking time according to references to one of the major holy days, Easter or Christmas, and their surrounding seasons, the focus becomes counting Sundays. Others refer to this time as the green season. The paraments on the altar, the pastor's stole, the green, the color of the time reflects growth and life. Indeed, during these coming weeks, the church follows Jesus and his band of disciples as he announces the reign of God come near. This time will stretch for a full 26 weeks, half the year. Jesus will follow a path of teaching and healing and building a community that in the end threatens the status quo. In so many ways, Jesus continues to challenge the status quo. He makes people uncomfortable. Religious and political leaders, people with power and authority, people privileged by the injustices of so many human systems, rebel against the reign of God, as Jesus articulates it. On this second Sunday after Pentecost, the first Sunday of the Green Sundays, the faithful hear Jesus call Matthew to follow him. The reminder that Matthew's status as a tax collector makes him suspect bears repeating. Whatever the injustices of the current tax law in the United States, particularly its regressive nature that weighs heavier on the poor and the working class, the Roman system of taxation functioned out of baked-in extortion, cheating, and grift. The people of Judea understood tax collectors as traitors who make their money on the backs of an already oppressed community. In some tellings, the system worked by having the tax collectors pay the tax due to Rome. Then they gathered taxes from the people. If they could include a surcharge for their trouble, well, that served as their income. In the eyes of the religious leadership, Matthew sinned daily against God and against their people. So when Jesus calls him to discipleship and shares table fellowship, the leadership objects. And when they object, Jesus responds with scripture straight out of the prophet Hosea, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice." Of course, the New Revised Standard Version translates it, "For I desired steadfast love and not sacrifice." This muddies the clarity of this reference Jesus is making. All the same, Jesus articulates a core tenet of his ministry, indeed of the reign of God. Mercy or steadfast love serve as bedrock. Throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, the authors assert God's commitment to steadfast love that endures forever. The Scriptures hold up event after event, time after time, when God's mercy reigns supreme. With Jesus fundamentally saying that sinners' lives matter, there was ground for objection. Why do you elevate these sinners in your focus? Why can you not just say that all lives matter? In truth, then as now, sometimes lifting up the specific helps all to see the sweeping nature of God's steadfast love for all. In fact, much as some may have feared that their lives would not matter when the sinners' lives receive the focus, Jesus' ministry betrays that understanding. First, a leader of the synagogue comes to petition Jesus' attention for his dead daughter. Surely this individual might fear that calling sinners and not the righteous might exclude him and his family from Jesus' care and concern. But not so. Jesus brings life to one thought dead. Then a woman who had suffered from hemorrhages for 12 years sneaks a touch of Jesus' robe in hopes of healing. Her condition would have made her every bit as dead as the synagogue leader's daughter. Ritually unclean and excluded from public and religious gathering, as some suggest, she lived separated from community and therefore from life. One gospel suggests that she had blown through all of her financial resources seeking a cure. Jesus heals her and even acknowledges her faith. Even today, researchers continue to tease apart the relationship between believing and healing. The effectiveness of prayer gets tangled up in all of this. Still, believing in healing power of prayer and of God continues to have important impact of well-being and of health. Yet still, whole populations experience exclusion from community, from life-giving relationship with the body of Christ. Not that many years ago, architecture of churches did not honor those with physical and mobility challenges. Church worship spaces did not provide resources for those who struggle with hearing deficits. Church infrastructure still often does not attend to visual challenges. Unfortunately, it took legal recourse through the Americans with Disabilities Act to challenge congregations to do better. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. What does steadfast love look like? To this day, too often, segregation along ethnic and national lines persists. Too often, those with privilege cannot see the cost to Black, Brown, Indigenous, and people of color, or to members of the LGBTQIA community, the impoverished, and those with challenges of mobility, cognition, and so many other differing abilities. By his action, Jesus speaks welcome, care, steadfast love, and belonging for all people. At the same time, sometimes Jesus speaks a particular call, a particular welcome, and a particular invitation to belonging for those too often excluded. Jesus welcomes all just as they are and demonstrates steadfast love and mercy for each one. Always.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.